There goes the Daverhood.
The guy David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome on this post-Veterans Day, pre-Thanksgiving weekend to the 320th episode of Dave's Gone By. That's right, we've done 319 of these previously, and yet somehow we still haven't exhausted every topic of conversation. There's still more to do, more fun to be had, more to say. And before I get into what will be on this episode of Dave's Gone By, I kind of keep everybody updated on what's happening in my life week to week, and well, it's been a roller coaster this week, folks, I gotta tell you. Now, if you've been listening to the show over the last couple of months, you'll know that this is somewhat terra nova for me, because I moved, with my wife actually, back in early August from New York, where we had both lived all our lives, either on Long Island, as we've lived for the past decade, or she was born in Queens, and I came from Brooklyn, and we both have worked in Manhattan, so we were real New York-y type people, and here we are, for the past 3 months now, living in Northern Colorado, because my wife is a teacher at the university out here, and I went on with her, and it's, you know, of course, it does take some transitioning. It does take a little bit of a different getting used to and lifestyling, as it were. I'm not putting the right words on it, but I think you know what I'm getting at. But it's been good, thank God. I mean, we've had good times here, and the weather's been mostly spectacular, although we're due for some snow this weekend. And I'm very thankful for that, but you know, on the other hand, it's still a lot of stresses going on with the newness, with being in a place that is, we're renting, where we don't have our home of our own anymore, which is kind of weird, except for the home that we still have back in New York that we're trying to sell, that the people who are supposed to be buying it are being very difficult about, but I won't say more, not gonna screw the pooch on this yet. Believe me, there'll be a book to write about this when the lawsuits are flying, but we shall see. Anywho, that's the roller coaster, that's the nadir, the bottom of the week, the top of the week. I've got to say, I'm so happy. I went to see a play, the first play I've been to since we've been living out here, that I've seen out here, and I went to the university to catch a one-woman show that she was doing mostly for the college student academic audience. So it was a one-woman show called New Faces of America, all about playing these different characters and types, and usually minorities of ethnic stuff or handicaps going on, and, you know, typical, fairly standard issue stuff. I wrote about it. I wrote about it for the Greeley Tribune, which published it. Yay! This is exciting for me for two reasons. First of all, it's the first publication that I've had in a newspaper out here, or magazine out, or anything out here. It's the first time I can point to something and say, hey, I wrote this in Colorado for Colorado, and there it is, and it's in the Tribune. It's in a, you know, a daily newspaper out here. And I've really got to thank the editors on this. They put it on page A3 above the fold. Ooh, if you know anything about newspapers, you know that's like one of the great perfect placements of all. And they even put my little photo with the story. I was just compelling. I was showing everybody. I couldn't help myself. So that was really, really wonderful. And it also occurred to me that this was the first article that I've had published in a daily newspaper in all my years of journalism. I've had tons of things in magazines and arts journals and acting newspapers and things like that. But an actual newsy daily paper, except for an editorial or an op-ed thing, I've never really had a story, a theater review, and anything. So Yeah, I'm kind of on cloud four because all the mortgage stuff has put me in cloud zero, and then the getting published put me on cloud nine. So I'm hovering between them and generally humming along at cloud four. But if it weren't for the house and dealing with real estate people, if I tell you, there's a level of you talk about cloud zero, cloud nine, cloud four. There's a level of fire in hell where all these people belong, and I think it's Ash 9 or Ash 3. I don't know. Anyway, what we're also going to see and hear tonight on Dave's Gone By, which is a mix of talk radio and humor and comedy and music and all sorts of great stuff, well, it's going to be a really fun show. First of all, I love radio, as anybody, as you can tell, because you're listening to this. But I also love discussing radio and being nostalgic about it, and also enjoying new kinds and types of radio programs and radio stations. Well, I was able to meet up with a woman named Nina Price. She is the treasurer and also a radio personality on a station called KFJC in the Bay Area. It's actually a 50-year-old station allied with a college over there. And although if you're listening to my show in New York or Colorado, you can't get them on your dial, on your FM dial, you can listen because they stream 24/7 at kfjc.org. And what's cool about this radio station is that it's a lot like WFMU out in New Jersey. It's fairly independent in its thinking. They play a lot of new music. In fact, their mandate is, I think, to play 35% new or newly released material as part of their music stuff. But they have all kinds of different shows with all kinds of kooky, crazy disc jockeys doing that. So I wanted Nina Price to share that with us. She actually plays a character on her Wednesday morning show on that station. She plays a character named Ann Arbor, I think because she came from Michigan, and it's typical beautiful college radio. It starts with one kind of music at 6 o'clock in the morning, then morphs into some completely different and then world music and soundtrack stuff. We'll talk to Ann Arbor. I also want to ask her what it's like to be the treasurer for a radio station for all those years to figure out, what a budget is and how much goes for what. I think that's fascinating. And also, you've got that movie that just came out called Pirate Radio, with Philip Seymour Hoffman, where they're telling the supposedly true story of real pirate radio people who went out on little boats and got a signal going and were able to take over the airwaves till the authorities shut them down, and then they moved somewhere else in the ocean and started doing it all over again. Well, Nina Price interviewed the real pirate radio guys from Radio Caroline in the United Kingdom. So I'm fascinated to hear what they might have told her or what they talked about. All that stuff tonight in my talk with Nina Price from KFJC. Now, also on Dave's Gone By this episode, Inside Broadway. Of course we're doing our Broadway segment. We do it every single time. And so that means a mix of Broadway news, including a really terrific book idea for holiday gift giving, yes, it is that time, about Forbidden Broadway, one of the great delights of off-Broadway for about two decades. So going to talk a little bit about that. Also, going to be reviewing some shows that I saw when I visited New York two or three weeks ago, including a revival of The Royal Family, an old show that features Rosemary Harris and Chang Maxwell. Let you know what I thought of it on Inside Broadway. And if that weren't enough for a truly amazing episode of Dave's Gone By, well, last week you heard Rabbi Saul Solomon chatting with the legendary performer Theodore Bekel. I hope you got to hear that. If you didn't, please go to davesgoneby.org and check the archives. It's really worth hearing, and the archives are free. You can listen to them anytime, so just go there and click and either download on your iPod or just listen to it streaming on your computer. But anyway, Rabbi Saul Solomon is back again with a much less happy and delightful task than talking to Theodore Bekel. He's going to give his thoughts on the shooting at Fort Hood last week. So if you think Andy Rooney is a curmudgeon, spend a few minutes with Rabbi Saul. Anyway, before we spend our few minutes with Nina Price and the Rabbi and Broadway, I do want to remind everybody about the wonderful sponsors of Dave's Gone By, including Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway since the 1970s. The Torong family has owned and operated Hewlett Minuteman Press in Hewlett, Long Island, right opposite that Lohman store that's been there forever. 516-569-5577 is their phone number to ask about their prices and all the things they do. And remember, as a Dave's Gone By listener, you get 10% off at Minuteman just by mentioning the show. 516-569-5577 for Hewlett Minuteman Press. They are the kings. Program is also brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Call Jeff at 516-797-3229. That's 797-3229. And when I say Jeff, I am referring, of course, to Jeff Goodman, who's been a guest on this program dozens of times. He's co-hosted it several times. I think he is still in Singapore. And when he gets back home and is back to being compass mentis and working on the balloons and going to the theater like he does, would love to get him back on the show. But remember, you know, we're right smack into holiday season now. If you're having a Thanksgiving party, you're planning that Super Bowl party perhaps already, and of course all those holiday, Christmas, and Hanukkah parties, please give Jeff a call, 797-3229, shouldn't your event be a fancy schmancy one. This program is also brought to you by Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway since 1944. Go to performingartsinsider.com to find out more about this amazing journal that tells you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, dance, special events. It's all in there in those pages, and Dave's Gone By listeners get a really amazing discount rate for subscriptions. Go to performingartsinsider.com. And finally, this program is brought to you by TotalTheater.com. Also, tons of Broadway information, but this is different. This is all theater reviews and articles from all over the world, spanning back already, I think, about 14 or 15 years. It's absolutely free. They've got articles going way back, plus brand new shows that are being reviewed and new stories about what's going on Broadway and across the country now. Check them out at TotalTheater.com. Well, okay, we've done the sponsors, we've done the greetings, we've done all the stuff I generally need to do in the Dave Goes In segment. Now we actually go into the show, and we'll be back to talk to Nina Price of KFJC, coming to the neighborhood right after this.
Meow! I'm not an ordinary cat. I'm a copycat. I love to make copies. So my favorite place is Hewlett Minuteman Press. For three decades, they've been on Broadway in Hewlett, printing booklets, making business cards, designing wedding invitations, and making millions of copies. Meow! How good is Minuteman? Hey, I used to have one life. Now I've got nine. Hewlett Minuteman on Broadway opposite Lohman's. Tell him Toner the Copycat sent you for 10% off.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Well, if you know anything about me or about this program, you know that one of the things I love more than anything else, besides the theater, I guess that will always be number one, but a close second and gaining ground over the past few years has been radio. And even though so much of radio sucks and has sucked for decades and decades, let's face it, it sucked when I was growing up and a teenager and still listening to it. I still listen to it, but now we can pick and choose. Now you've got the internet, now you can hear stations from all over the country, all over the world. Well, what stations should you be listening to? Well, for one thing, I listen to WFMU out in New Jersey because they're an independent station and they have wild stuff, and I listen to Glenn Jones and X-Ray Burns and the old-time Phonograph album. I mean, it's all unique and all different and not what you're going to hear on cookie-cutter New York radio or Colorado radio or anything like that. And there are a few stations along the way, mostly allied with colleges or in colleges, that give you that kind of programming. WFUV. I used to be their theater critic, in fact. And they play a very certain type of music, and it's essentially a professionally run Americana station where you can predict the kind of stuff they're playing except since I like most of what they're playing, I listen to it when I get a chance. But I'm talking some of the weirder, more out there stations, where at noon you can tune into an opera show, at 3 o'clock they suddenly switch to jazz, and then 5 o'clock there's some lunatic screaming about Martians, and then at 6 o'clock a folk show, and it just goes on and on like that. Mix of students, mix of grown-ups, that's interesting to me. And so I'm very happy to have, as a guest on this episode of Dave's Gone By, someone who has toiled in the strange radio mines for more than 16 years now. She started, amazingly enough, as a corporate executive in Silicon Valley. And then, I don't know if she still does that, but at least she gave up part of it in order to do radio, and to do the kind of radio that they do on a station KFJC, 89.7 FM, in the Bay Area, San Francisco. Now, don't get confused. This is a San Francisco station. But the person that I'm talking to is, at least in her radio alter ego, called Ann Arbor. But we're not going to call her Ann Arbor. We're going to call her by her real name, and that is Nina Price. Nina, hello?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
It's a treat to be here, and you did such a great job of explaining who KFJC is and why people all over the world love to listen to KFJC.
Well, they can listen, first of all, you guys are online 24/7 streaming.
We are.
And you also have some archives listenable?
We do. We have 2 weeks' worth, and that's new for us. We've had archives for many years, and we've been very careful about sharing them, but we are now making them available to anyone who wants to listen to them and download them.
I think it's great that you guys, who are allied with a small college, what is the college?
Our college is Foothill College.
Foothill.
Which is in Los Altos Hill, California. And I need to mention that the folks at FMU, WFMU, are our good friends. We talk to them all the time. We listen to their programs. There's a lot of interchange between the two stations. And that's been very deliberate because in many ways we're really kindred spirits, even though we're on opposite coasts.
Well, what are some of the kinds of programs that you do, of course, across the course of a week on KFJC?
So KFJC, as you mentioned, broadcasts 24 hours a day. And at any time of day, you can hear a pretty broad range of music. Philosophically, we're all about new music, music you really won't hear many other places. But that doesn't mean we don't play old music. We get our music from record labels and local bands and up-and-coming musicians whom we've met in our travels. We have some specialty shows, but not many. We have a jazz show, as you would expect. We have a reggae show.
Mm-hmm.
We have an alternative country show, which is not like any other country show you've ever heard.
How is it alternative?
Well, because the guy is just a really interesting character. His air name is Joe Ed Dick.
Okay.
And he just has a really good sense of what's going on and plays what he plays. But he also has an old-time radio segment on his show for about half an hour where he plays radio classics from years gone by, you know, whether it's Dragnet or Jack Benny or any
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Old radio shows. He plays those for half an hour during his show. He also is interested in the movies and film, and he has a segment of his show called Dick on Screen, where he sometimes interviews people or comments on what's going on in up-and-coming new films. So many of us have many segments to our shows. We have a soundtrack show called the Norman Bates Memorial Soundtrack Show, which is a very beloved show in the Bay Area.
What is it? It's just Bernard Herrmann music, or what is it?
Oh, no, it's way beyond Bernard Herrmann. Of course, you would hear Bernard Herrmann. He even plays Bollywood. He also would play Italian spaghetti western kinds of music. He plays stuff from TV shows and from things going on in local underground film and so on. And he's very, Robert Emmett is the host of that show, and he is very involved in the local film scene in the Bay Area and elsewhere. And so he brings in people from many different places to talk about what they're up to. He's interviewed all kinds of interesting folks.
So it's a soundtrack show, but a little beyond what you would expect if they're playing just, you know, the soundtrack to The Sound of Music. Or,
oh, yes. It's definitely much more up-to-date and much more out there. In fact, everything we do is up-to-date and kind of out there.
You host a show under your nom de plume, or in radio terms, nom de guerre, which would be...
nom de guerre. Somebody called it my nom d'FM. My FM name, which I kind of liked.
Your nom de 89.7 FM.
My nom de 89.7, which is Ann Arbor.
But why don't you go on? Because apparently your character, so to speak, isn't that different from you. So why do a character? Or is there something that gives you more freedom there?
I think it does. Why not do a character? Why not have an alter ego? I think everybody really does want to have an alter ego, even if she isn't radically different. I mean, we have pirates on our station. and no, we don't do pirate radio, but we have pirates on the radio. And they are very much in character. Captain Jack and Scully are on every Wednesday these days, and they are actually, Captain Jack is usually only on for about an hour, but right now we're in the middle of our fundraiser, and Captain Jack and Scully have been making more and more frequent appearances because they have really been raising a lot of funds for the station. Everybody loves them. They're very lovable, but they're very mischievous pirates.
So they play pirates, and again, they're not pirate radio people like in that movie coming up, but they, they're characters.
I want to talk about that movie coming up too, but they are actual pirates, Captain Jack and Scully, and their, you know, their theme song is the, you know, the thing from Disneyland, yo-ho, yo-ho, pirate's life for me, and they play children's stories, and they, it's just
it's like Captain Feathersword from The Wiggles.
Actually, they've been written up all over the place, so people tune in from all over the world to listen to Captain Jack and Scully.
Whoa, okay. Sounds cool. But you didn't really mention or get to mention that much of what kinds of music you play in your... What is your program called, by the way?
Well, my show is called Dancing in the Fast Lane with Ann Arbor. It's a morning show. I'm on at 6 o'clock in the morning from 6 until the Big Ten, as they say.
Oh, four-hour block. Nice.
It's very nice. And, you know, of course, Ann Arbor is part of the Big Ten, so... That makes sense. At least U of Michigan is, and I did go to school there.
Okay.
That's why I'm Ann Arbor, because I have a fondness for that town, and I've always thought that Ann Arbor should be a person, so I decided to be that person, and I've met a lot of former Michiganders in the Bay Area by being Ann Arbor, so that's been kind of fun. Ann Arbor starts her show each week with belly dance music, 20 minutes of belly dance music.
20 minutes? Well, I guess you got to warm up and then you got to do the dance and then cool down.
Exactly.
So yeah, okay.
You can belly dance out of bed.
I'd rather belly dance in it, but that's another story completely.
Well, exactly. But, you know, no one is watching, so you can dance like there's no one watching because no one is.
Okay.
So we start with belly dance music, and I've thought about losing that part of the show, and people keep saying, no, I really like that part.
Okay.
And then I kind of circumnavigate the globe musically for the rest of that 6 o'clock hour, and actually I have a lot of listeners during my 6 o'clock hour. Many, and I know this because over the years I've gotten donations between 6 and 7 in the morning, and many people on our station do not get, in fact, nobody else on our station gets donations at 6 o'clock in the morning but me.
Well, congratulations. Although 6 to 7, that is morning drive. I mean, that counts. That's a major time.
It is morning drive, and the thing is, I have a very loyal crew of listeners from 6 to 7, and I know that because I started doing ticket giveaways from 6 to 7, and I call it the early bird gets the tickets.
Cool.
So ordinarily I give away tickets to local shows in the Bay Area a bit later when there are more people listening. I think statistics always show that people are listening very heavily during the 8 o'clock hour because they're commuting.
Right.
And so the 8 o'clock hour tends to be when I usually give away tickets, and I give away all kinds of tickets for all kinds of shows. But I've noticed that doing this early bird gets the tickets things, I have been giving away tickets at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, good. Oh, I remember.
Pretty amazing.
A friend of mine, Jeff Goodman, who's been on this program a bunch of times and has co-hosted this show, we were doing a show in a college station out on Long Island and trying to give away tickets from 3 in the morning until 6 a.m. And we would get a call from someone who could just pull his lips away from a bong long enough to dial. And we end up having to give the tickets or like the free CD to him just because, you know, trying to give a ticket away at 4:30 in the morning, that's brutal.
It is brutal. I've done it myself. I mean, one of the things that we have to do as part of our training at KFJC is you do have to do grave shifts for quite a few weeks before they will let you on during the day.
Sure.
And so back in the day, and I'll tell this story because it's kind of an interesting thing I learned. I did work in the computer industry for 20 years, and at one point in my life, I was working so hard that I just needed to do something for myself, so I took a radio class at Foothill College.
Uh-huh.
And what I didn't realize is that that class probably changed my life more than any other class I've ever taken in my whole life. I just thought I was taking a radio class, but what I realized afterwards was that I totally got hooked. I've always been a radio listener. I grew up in New York like you did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I listened to the radio and grew up with all the famous New York radio stations like everybody who grew up in New York did. And it's really interesting because as a kid, I always say that I spent a lot of my childhood playing records. When I graduated from high school, you know, most people in those days, their parents gave them a typewriter because there weren't PCs yet.
Right.
I'm hating myself here, but people got a typewriter when they graduated from high school and went to college. Well, my dad gave me a radio when I graduated from high school. Now, how many people's dads gave them a radio,
when
they graduated from high school?
Quite honestly, actually, most kids have a radio long before they graduate. I mean, I hope it was a nice radio.
Oh, it was
I mean, some kids get a car, you know.
I don't know why I didn't ask for a radio, but for some reason that's what he thought I needed.
I mean, back where I was growing up, I mean, kids were getting, like, Mercedes from their parents, and it's like...
Oh,
no, I'm not going to give you a Mercedes. I'll give you a radio, though. It's like, thanks, Dad. Sorry.
Exactly. But kids I went to high school with were not getting Mercedes.
Right, of course. No. But no, but they might get a typewriter, or something of that nature. But I assume you also got a radio, like, stereo. Like, it sounded good.
It was a nice little radio. It wasn't a big deal. But I did listen to the radio when I was in college.
Sure.
I have always been a person that listened to the radio, is the point.
Did you listen to college radio when you were in college? Your state, what, did they have a station where you were going?
Oh, in Ann Arbor, of course they did.
WCBN, okay.
And I wasn't that into college radio so much. I was into music, and I was into listening, and I'm a very auditory learner, so for me, you know, listening to the radio was a good way. And I liked it when people read books on the radio. I used to listen to various programs where people read books. I don't know why, but I did. So when I started my show, I decided I was going to have a segment where I read books on the radio. So I have a segment called Unbedtime Stories, which airs at 7:20 in the morning. It's a 20-minute segment where I read fiction by up-and-coming authors. And I've read some pretty well-known authors and even interviewed some pretty well-known authors. And I've read... unknowns. In fact, you've probably heard of National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. Have you heard of that?
No, I have not.
November is National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, cool.
That's something that actually started in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I have interviewed the guy who started it, and I have been supporting National Novel Writing Month for years now. I think this is going to be my fifth or sixth year supporting it. What I do is the goal is you write 50,000 words of a novel during the month of November.
Yeah.
And if you complete it, you can read from your novel on my show in the Unbedtime Stories segment. And so I have people coming in every week for months after November reading their novels for Unbedtime Stories.
That's a lot of 50,000 words in a month is a lot. That's more than 1,000 words a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really am a big supporter of people who have big ideas and who make them real. And I'll tell a story about an older lady who was on my show last year. And she wrote a novel during November. And she'd always wanted to do it. She'd had this idea for many years, and so she just decided this was the year she was going to write her novel. And so she wrote more than 50,000 words of her novel, and she came on my show and read from her novel. Now, I didn't think her novel was particularly brilliant, but it was very important to her, and she was obviously very nervous about the idea of reading on the radio and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give this woman credit, because she, to me, personifies what it's all about. Having the guts and the courage of your convictions to actually write your novel in a month and then read it on the radio. I mean, I thought that was wonderful, and I was really proud of her for just having the sheer guts to do it and actually doing it. A lot of people think about it, but they don't do it.
Not only dream the impossible dream, but go out and try to actually do the impossible dream.
Absolutely, and I'm all about that. That's so who I am.
I am a little curious just about nuts and bolts on this. Since you're the treasurer for KFJC Radio in the Bay Area, I would love to know, because I never really got the backstory on this kind of stuff. How much does it cost to run a college radio station? 24/7 with streaming audio, you know.
So we have a very modest budget, and we really get the lion's share of our operating budget from our listeners. The college doesn't really give us much money at all.
How much? Well, first, what is your capital? How much does it take to run the station for a year?
Well, that varies, and I probably won't give you specific numbers because I'm not sure that our management would be too happy about that. But let's say under $100,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For the full year?
We have volunteer labor. There are probably about 50 to 70 people on our staff at any point in time. And in order to be on the staff, you have to do work for the station. So you can't just register for a class at Foothill College and get a show. You have to work for it. You have to participate, whether it's reviewing music that we're putting into our library or filling in on shifts that are empty,
mm-hmm.
or occasionally doing a grave shift when nobody's there to keep the station running 24 hours a day, or doing promotions work, working with the local clubs to get tickets to give away or to do co-presents.
I assumed just to keep the station running and dealing with fixing a transmitter, you've got to pay a guy like $90,000 because he's an engineer.
So we do have a chief engineer who's paid, and we do have a general manager who's paid. Those are the only two paid positions, but they're not paid piles of money.
Wow,
you
okay.
Know, they're paid modest stipends, but they're available 24/7 or have to be,
yeah.
if there's an emergency. So if we lose power, and we from time to time lose power, less now than we used to, there's got to be somebody to call. Or if some of the equipment malfunctions.
Of course, yeah.
Seriously, somebody's got to be on call. Our general manager, you know, certainly we're in the middle of a big fundraiser right now, and he's at the station probably more than not at this time of
sure.
year. And he's on call as well.
Now, you don't have rent, I guess, because the college deals with
that's correct.
Rent and utilities.
College,
so.
The college gives us our facilities.
So that's how you, at least I assume that helps keep the budget under $100,000. I'm very happy that it can be done.
Well, we buy all our own equipment, and we've remodeled our studios significantly in the last decade or so, which have been very, very expensive propositions. We have very good equipment. It's interesting. I've visited other stations in our area, and by comparison, we have really great equipment because, you know, we're in the Silicon Valley, and most of us are geeks and value having the latest and greatest.
Well, let me guess. Is the furniture terrible? Are the chairs really, like, broken almost and no backs and stuff like that?
Ratty and awful.
Yep, that's so typical. I don't know why. I don't know what it is to spend $35 on an office chair, but they don't do it. I don't get it. You know.
It's okay. You know, most of us donate our old furniture to the station. We've had various people's couches, and we've had various people's office chairs, and we've had various... You know, some of our listeners donate stuff, whether it's furniture or old computers or pieces of electronic gear, or sometimes they donate their car to the college so that the money from the sale of the car goes to the station. So we get all kinds of donations. Our listeners are very good to us.
And music, too. They'll donate their CD collections and their... you'll take vinyl?
Yes, absolutely. We have a huge... Well, we have a 50-year collection of music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's right. The station is at its 50th anniversary, right?
We just had our 50th birthday on October 20th, 2009. And the guy who started the station, a man named Bob Ballou, who started the station in a broom closet.
Now, speaking of radio people, the last thing I want to talk about with Nina Price of KFJC-FM, which, granted, if you're listening to my show in New York or Colorado, you won't get that on your radio there. What's the URL? Where can people listen on the web?
So, of course, it's www.kfjc.org.
KFJC.org. And when does your show air? What morning?
Wednesday, 6 a.m. to 10.
6 to 10 for Nina Price playing Ann Arbor on the radio. But one thing that did intrigue me, especially since that movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman is coming out about pirate radio, you mentioned, A, that, yes, there's a show on your station where you've got people making believe they're pirates and having a lot of fun, but on your program you interviewed the real pirate radio people, you know, like from the ocean kind of pirate radio.
Exactly. So one of the things we do that's very fun at KFJC is what we call the Month of Mayhem. So the month of May is the month of mayhem at KFJC, and we all do specials. Well, anybody who wants to can do a special. You can pick a particular artist or a scene or a type of music or an instrument or anything, really. And I've done stuff on belly dancing. I've done stuff on the Asian Underground, and I didn't mention that I have a segment on my show which is all about the Asian Underground and the music of the Indian subcontinent.
Hmm.
I've done stuff on various European music scenes. I've looked at different bands and different record labels and all kinds of stuff, and it's been really fun. But one of the funnest shows I've done during Mayhem was about Radio Caroline in the UK. One of my listeners met a man, Tom Lodge, who was one of the original DJs on Radio Caroline in the UK back in the 60s.
Now, when you say specifically, explain, please, for people who don't know what that means. He was
in
a boat.
Radio Caroline was a radio station based on a boat cruising the coast of the United Kingdom in the 60s. And there's a new film that Dave will tell you about that's going to showcase them. But this guy, Tom Lodge, was one of the original DJs on this pirate station, which was called Radio Caroline. And Tom Lodge and I put on a four-hour show where we talked all about Radio Caroline, told all the stories, played all the music, and had just a blast of a time. And Tom Lodge is a wonderful, wonderful storyteller.
Hmm.
And he told all about his experiences on the boat, on shore, how the radio station evolved, what the British authorities did about it, because you can imagine they're very mad, and that's all depicted in this movie coming up called Pirate Radio.
Well, the movie seems a little jokey to me. It seems like they're going to, you know, turn it into more of a silly comedy rather than really tell the story. I hope they do, though, because I'm fascinated by that kind of thing. And I'm still wondering how they did it. They just kind of go into the ocean, and they're able to hijack a signal somewhere on the dial?
Their boat was registered in another country, and they actually had their transmitter on board, I guess, and all their equipment. And they were able, as pirate radio stations do, to broadcast all over the UK, and of course, they were always moving. So
they'd
go up one coast and down another, and they actually would sometimes come ashore and meet their listeners, or sometimes they had to stay offshore because the authorities made it difficult. And he talks about times where the authorities actually chased them, threatened them, did all kinds of stuff to get rid of them. But the people who listened to the radio, the young people, loved Radio Caroline. It was so popular that in the end, even though the authorities kind of made life difficult for them, the love of what they were doing was so pervasive that they were able to make radio change in the UK. Because back in the day, in the 60s, individuals could not own a radio station, could not have a license or a radio frequency in the UK. It was all government.
Well, it's BBC One, BBC Two. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't understood that, but telling the story, and that's why they had to do pirate radio, because even though they wanted to buy a license, they couldn't.
One of the nice things about being able to do the kinds of radio that you do through a college is that you have obviously so much more freedom than you would get, even at satellite radio, which isn't nearly as free as everybody thought it would be. I think that's the coolest thing about the kind of radio that's done on FMU and on your station, KFJC. Now, the very last question for Nina Price, who's really been fun to talk to because I love talking about radio. I'm curious about the weirdest, craziest, nuttiest DJ that you have come across in your 16 years of being at that Bay Area station.
There's so many.
Really? Okay.
I haven't mentioned Dave Emery, who's on our station. And Dave Emery, you probably know from WFMU because his show is broadcast all over the place. But his shows originate at KFJC. He does his production in our studios, and he's been on our staff forever.
Oh, wow, okay.
Dave Emery is a political commentator. Some people would say he's a conspiracy theorist. And he does two shows on our station on Thursday and on Friday from 6 to 7. He is a very interesting human being and a great character and a dear friend.
Oh, okay.
And he can be heard all over the place because he's about as close to a syndicated person we have on our station. And that's just because he's gone out and got the distribution for his show. So, Dave Emery, we mentioned Captain Jack and Scully.
Right.
We have some other people who are interesting. There's some newer staff members. There's a guy called Cy Foss who's on Thursday afternoons, and his show is The Fire Bunker. And Cy Foss has he writes and he does some very dramatic readings, and he plays very black metal and very out there music. He's just a wonderful character, and he has a very interesting way of talking. One of my listeners met him because he sometimes answers phones for me when it's fundraiser time, and she said, "Oh, I thought you were like 9 foot tall. You sound like you're 9 foot tall."
And the voice he uses on the air, which is, you said, sounds almost like he's had a stroke.
A little bit. Yeah, we jokingly said we should all imitate Cy Foss for a day, just fun. He's just a very lovable character. But he's a anyway, I'm not doing a good imitation.
That's my kind of radio right there, let me tell you.
It's wonderful.
Now, over the year, I'm not just talking about currently on the air, but over the years, anybody really completely mad, or also anybody who became famous?
Oh, I don't know. Well, Phil Dirt was on our station for many years, and he had a very well-loved surf show. And Phil Dirt's surf website is still very, very popular all over the world. And people listened literally on every continent, including Antarctica, to Phil Dirt's surf show on Saturday nights.
What the hell else are you going to do in Antarctica on a November day? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Ophelia Necro does the Suicide Watch from 10 p.m. on Sunday night to 2 a.m., and that's also a show that many people love. And
Ophelia Necro.
Ophelia Necro.
Was it death metal kind of?
Yeah, and she does a lot of creepy, spooky stuff all year long. In fact, she was on the grave shift ahead of me yesterday, and it was still Halloween, and she was talking about crawling into her coffin at 6 o'clock. In fact, when I got there, she wasn't there. I guess she had crawled into her coffin.
Well, I guess it's appropriate that she has the graveyard shift. I mean,
Well, sometimes, and she also has wonderful costumes. We have her staff meeting Thursday night. She had this wonderful hat that had like bat wings coming out of it. It was darling. So, we're all characters.
You must be so glad.
About being radio people is that you can be your fully expressed self. As I said, many of us need to have an alter ego, and radio gives us such a wonderful opportunity to be that other person.
I can totally see why you dropped corporate America to do what you're doing, and I want to thank you for taking the time with us, Nina Price, a.k.a. Ann Arbor. Everybody, listen, please, to her show and to bunches of other programs on KFJC. And was that KFJC.org or com?
.org, and please do check out our website. There's all kinds of information, music reviews, information about activities we're involved with. We just tend to think a little bit bigger than most college stations. Our staff ranges in age from about 18 to about 60-something, and so we have just an amazing crew of talented, bright, creative folks who just get together and do real magic, and it's fun.
That's what radio is all about. Nina Price, thank you so much for bringing that magic and fun into the neighborhood.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort, we pilfer, we filch and sack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Maraud and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and char, inflame and ignite. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We're rascals, scoundrels, villains, and knaves. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We're devils and black sheep, really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We're beggars and flyers and ne'er-do-well cads. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. I bet we're loved by our mommies and dads. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
Everything old is new again, because now you can hear vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By two different ways. At davesgoneby.org, click the links to hear entire episodes free anytime, day or night. But maybe you want something more tangible. You can still buy shows on CD for just $10, postage included. Visit davesgoneby.org for all your CD and podcast needs, or email davesgoneby@AOL.com. We'll make everything old new again.
We'll order now what they ordered then, 'cause everything old is new again.
Oh, honey, make sweet love to me.
Huh?
Can't you put down that stupid book?
In a minute, dear.
You said that 20 minutes ago. What's so special about marriage, babies, and the end of the world?
Well, it's a collection of plays by radio host Dave Lefkowitz.
Why do you want to read a bunch of plays?
Because they're hilarious.
How'd you even buy that book?
Online at davesgoneby.org. $20. And they've got trade paperbacks for 12.
You would rather read Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World than ride me like a hot stallion?
Well, maybe we can compromise. Wow, I love this book! Oh, and you too, hon.
Mazel tov, mazel tov, Kinder, von Karalle sein
Gesinn!
Shalom, damn it! This is Rabbi Sol Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. I hope you are having a delightful autumn, enjoying the weather before it all gets oochy with snow and cold and ice and homeless people on the subway. Why are there never homeless people on airplanes? I mean, I know why, but that would be an interesting change. They're always on subways and buses. Just once, I'd like to get on an airplane and have people be like, don't sit there, that guy's taking up three seats and he smells of pee. It would be horrible, but different. There ought to be hobos on helicopters, those megavacs that land on the roofs of hospitals. Every once in a while you step in, there's a vagrant in the cockpit, or on a ski lift. Well, it's here? No, we'll wait for the next one. Why, honey? Because there's a 300-pound schwarzer on there with a hefty bag full of newspapers, okay? I'm not going. I have nothing against the homeless. Yes, they smell, but I'm used to that. If you've ever been on shul, on Yom Kippur, you get more bad breath and B.O. than an Armenian bathhouse. Still, I just prefer the homeless to be a little more incongruous sometimes. Go in the Florida Ocean on a speedboat looking for manatees. Oh, there's a deranged homeless person swimming with them. That's cute. Put on the television for a White House press conference, and sitting next to Sam Donaldson is a guy wearing tinfoil and ranting about Neptune. This would be a noteworthy and amusing twist. Why do I bring this up? I have no idea. This has nothing to do with what I want to discuss this evening, which is the terrible tragedy that happened last week at Fort Hood in Texas. Actually, it's not a tragedy. It's murder. Cold-blooded murder. It bothers the Gehenna out of me when people, for example, refer to 9/11 as a tragedy or an event. The events of 9/11, like event television on NBC. Yes, 9/11 was an event of slaughtering. Of course it was a tragedy caused by murder and an act of war. I hear the phrase, the unfortunate events of 9/11. The only unfortunate part is that we're too politically correct to call it what it was, crazy Arabs killing people. It's not as if there was no precedent. See, World Trade Center 1, Lockerbie, Bombay, Moscow, Algeria. And sadly, it's not as if there were no follow-ups. Morocco, Madrid, London, Indonesia. There is a subgroup of the Arab world. Not all Arabs, not all Muslims. Most, but not all. There is an enormous subgroup of people who worship Allah and read the Quran who happen to be apeshit crazy. Every once in a while, you get a Jew like that. David Berkowitz, the guy who shot Yitzhak Shamir, Jerry Stiller on Seinfeld. But most Jews just want to be left alone. They don't want to kill unless they're going to be killed. Arabs are the other way around. They want to kill and be killed. I never heard of such a thing except the Japanese in World War II. I'm young, I'm strong, I have a family, but today's a good day to drop dead. Let's take some people with me. This is the Arab mindset, the Meshuggah subgroup mindset that has caused untold havoc and horror in the world. And all they say every time another terrorist calamity happens is that Islam is a peaceful religion. 3,000 people killed in New York in the name of Allah. But Islam is about birds and flowers and love. Arab women walking into nightclubs with backpack bombs that maim 100 people in the name of Mohammed, the man of peace. If I go into a kosher deli, they offer me a ham sandwich with a shrimp cocktail. I'll say, aren't you kosher? They say, yes, you want bacon with that? They call themselves kosher, but they're selling treif. The Muslims can say that they're all about peace. But what they do is blow people to pieces. They promise pastrami and they deliver pork. And so, we have another example last week in Fort Hood in Texas. Because Texas has such a nonviolent history. Army Major Nidal Malik Hassan, right there, that should tell you everything you need to know. Nidal Malik Hassan. The name alone should get him stopped at every airport in the Northern Hemisphere. Nidal Malik Hassan was a respected army major and psychiatrist. He analyzed other people's brains. This is the man that they trusted to make sure other soldiers weren't cracking under pressure. Talk about letting a fox in a nut house. At 1:30 in the afternoon on November 5th, Nidal Malik Hassan walked into the medical center where he worked, said a quick prayer to Allah, and opened fire. 100 rounds of ammunition, killing 13 people and wounding 30, because Islam is a peaceful religion. A couple of sergeants finally brought this pacifist down, and amazingly, they did not kill him. So we may actually be able to pick this Yutz's diseased brain and figure out his motives, or at least torture him a little. See, the good news is that he's paralyzed. So wouldn't it be fun to dangle a burning Koran over his private parts? Or, even better, stick his head in water and get a priest to baptize him. I'd say get a rabbi to circumcise him, but we don't need another Jew the likes of him. So here's what I don't get about the whole thing, though. First of all, he worked as a shrink. Now, don't all psychiatrists have to go to other psychiatrists? Isn't that one of the cardinal rules? You get to tell other people how screwed up they are, so long as you go to someone who tells you you're even worse. So, no? Where was Hassan's shrink? Where's the analyst who said, oh, this guy really doesn't want to go to Afghanistan, he's in solidarity with the anti-Westernism of his Muslim brothers, he's giving away all his worldly goods, he's depressed, he's losing his grip on reality... But he's fine. Let's give him a .357 Magnum and let him be. What could happen? Hassan should be hanged, but the guy who examined him, he should have his head examined. And getting back to the religion thing, eyewitnesses say that before he began shooting, Nidal Malik Hashmuk jumped on a table and shouted, Allahu Akbar. How many times have we heard that fist-pumping salute? Allahu Akbar supposedly means God is great. You know what it really means? Ready, aim, fire. Because that's what they all say. The last thing they say before mowing down innocent people. Allahu Akbar. Imagine if every time a Jew said Shalom Aleichem, he said it just before running through a shopping center with a machete. They'd ban the phrase from spoken conversation. Because Shalom Aleichem would then be interpreted as some kind of secret code that means, I have gone crazy and I am going to kill you now. This sounds far-fetched, but have we gotten to the point where Allah Akbar means duck? Or more literally, when someone chants Allah Akbar, is he saying his prayers or warning you to say your prayers? Again, we're only talking about a small group of bastards here. But why are there so many of them? Just this week we liquidated another peacenik, the Beltway Sniper. Remember him? He shot 13 people in Washington, Virginia, and Maryland. Well, killing people in Baltimore I understand, but Washington and Virginia? Anywho, 10 of those people died, and now the Beltway Sniper is dead. By lethal injection, which was too good for him. Do you know the sniper's name? John Allen Muhammad. Not John Smith, not O'Leary Muhammad, the guy with the mountain. Now, the sniper was not born with that name. He changed it when he joined the Nation of Islam and started modeling himself after Osama bin Laden, a.k.a. the Prince of Peace. So, on this week of Veterans Day, where Obama is busting his tush trying to get the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks off the ground, good luck on that, and where we still have thousands of young men and women schlepping through the sands of Baghdad and Kabul, with nearly 5,000 bodies coming back in stars and striped coffins, courtesy of bin Laden's evil in New York and George Bush's stupidity in the White House, it is nice to remember the brave people who volunteer and train and fight and guard us and die for us, because
they can't get jobs in this economy. On behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, and our 19 and a half children, Nehemiah, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Rivki, Yehuda, Moish, Yecheskel, Boruch, Avigdor, Yisrael, Hephzibah, Shaul, Eliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naphtali, Fred, by my first marriage, and our adorable toddler Beryl, who, for some reason, walks around 24/7 with a finger in her tuchus. I don't know why she does this. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon saying, America Akbar, Allah, not so much.
Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
Hi, this is Ann Arbor of KFJC 89.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com.
Yes, we go inside Broadway here on Dave's Gone By to give you news and reviews of what's happening on the stages of New York. A few big things that were announced this week, including the return of Denzel Washington to Broadway. He'll be sitting on some fences, August Wilson's fences, by the way. There's going to be a long-talked-about Broadway revival of Wilson's, perhaps his most famous play, and I think it's the only one that actually made money while it was on Broadway. It was an actual hit. And so spring 2010 will bring Fences back to Broadway with Denzel Washington playing the lead role and Suzanne Laurie Parks directing the show. Also, The Simpsons are coming to Broadway. Well, no, not the cartoon character and not both the sisters, but Ashley Simpson is going to play Foxy Roxy Hart in the Broadway musical Chicago for 6 weeks starting in December. This certainly would not be the first of what might be termed stunt casting for the show, because they've had Brooke Shields and Melanie Griffith and Jerry Springer. Well, the show has gone on for nearly 5,500 performances, so maybe she'll be wonderful, maybe she'll be terrible, but probably somewhere in between. And if you want to go see her, the show is at the Ambassador Theater, and she'll be in there in December, Ashley Simpson as Roxy Hart. Well, from Roxy we go to Toxie. The Toxic Avenger has announced that it's going to close. This is an off-Broadway musical that's had a pretty good run of 9 months at New World Stages. It's a show by Joe DiPietro and David Bryan, so you have until January 3rd to catch their work. Now, DiPietro has his plate full with another show, because he is also the author of Memphis, that musical that's now on Broadway about black singers, or a guy who wants to put black singers on the radio in the South, way back when nobody was doing that. Pretty good show, and I do kind of recommend you checking that out. But I've never seen Toxic Avenger the musical, but if you want to, you just have a couple more weeks. Well, Two Jews and a Piano is the headline of this next story. Now, I don't even want to report this, because I'm kind of ticked off about the whole thing. Months and months ago, it was reported that the singer Michael Feinstein, you know, the guy who was always at, I think, the Algonquin and the Carlisle, and playing very effete but beautiful versions of great songs by Gershwin in Berlin, well, he was going to do a show paired up with Dame Edna Everage, the hilarious Australian/English comedian, played by Barry Humphreys, who's been on Broadway a couple of times by now and is really a superstar in her home country and certainly a Broadway star here. So I guess they were going to do a show and, you know, tumble with each other and also give each other like 45 minutes of stage time each. Well, then a so-called feud broke out, and they were actually going to do separate shows, with Michael Feinstein's show called All About Me and Dame Edna's called the much funnier It's All About Me. So suddenly they had quotes from both of them, how dare they take my title, and so, and this, and that. Well, wouldn't you know that just this week they announced that, oh no, it's going to be one show featuring both of them, both Michael Feinstein and Dame Edna. Very talented people. Definitely worth seeing. I'm just so pissed off about all this BS that I barely want to promote it. But there you are. It's going to be in the spring on Broadway. Your choice when you want to go see. Well, I will hope, though, that you go out and buy, and not just one copy, but this is like holiday gift-giving perfection if there are theater-goers on your list. There's a new book about Forbidden Broadway. You all know that show. It closed only a couple of months ago after years and years almost of a steady run. And Forbidden Broadway is a beautiful thing because it would send up, with love, but also lots of little barbs and cuts, all the big shows on Broadway, the authors, the famous stars, their egos, their personalities, the way they sing, the crazy lyrics, the good shows, the bad shows, the old shows. Forbidden Broadway lampooned it all, usually brilliantly, with Gerard Alessandrini, the founder of the show. Well, he's combined or collaborated on a book with Michael Portantier called Forbidden Broadway, Behind the Mylar Curtain, and it tells the show's great story, but what's sweet about the book is it's a coffee table volume with tons of photographs, a lot of color photographs too, interviews with cast members, some of whom went on to be pretty big on Broadway. You get lyrics and lyrics and lyrics. You know, the only thing better than this book, aside from maybe trying to bring Forbidden Broadway back, is sitting down with some of the Forbidden Broadway cast CDs while paging through this book. Now, this is not a critical review. I've only had a chance to skim through it, not an official book review. I'm just saying that this thing is a blast, and they did it right. And I will say that, yes, Gerard Alessandrini, the creator, has been on this program, and so has Michael Portantier. He was on our Tony show a couple of times, and he's also kind of a friend of mine. But, okay, that's giving that out there. It's still a marvelous book, Forbidden Broadway, Behind the Mylar Curtain, from Applause Books. The list price is $25, which, considering the look and the color photos, and it's an excellent price for your Hanukkah list, for your shopping list for Christmas. It's a no-brainer. Grab it. Oh, and speaking of a great gift for the theater person you care about, check out this.
Broadway theater has never been grander or more expensive. So, like any big purchase, you gotta do homework. You wanna pick the best show or the most family appropriate, the best reviewed or with the biggest stars or most interesting design. Everyone has different criteria. Performing Arts Insider answers them all. For decades, the Bible of Broadway that professionals check for every show on every New York stage. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com and see DavesGoneBy.org for a 30% subscriber discount. Now go! Do your homework.
We're back inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By because I went to New York a couple of weeks ago and saw some shows. I reported on a few of them the last episode, including Brighton Beach Memoirs, which I was just heartbroken that that closed so quickly because that was the best thing I've seen in a long time. But I did see some other productions as well, including a revival of The Royal Family, an old play by George S. Kaufman and Edna Ferber. She went on to do Showboat, or maybe she did Showboat first, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, Manhattan Theater Club is staging the show through December 13th at their Samuel J. Friedman Theater on Broadway, and I can't say run out and go see it. I mean, the play is what it is. It's one of those old plays, comedies, where part of the fun, supposedly, is everybody running around, talking very loud. It's not a door-slamming farce, but people go in and out of doors a lot, yelling, and doorbells, and the maid saying so-and-so's here and not here, and a lot of this noisy family just talking over each other. And that's supposed to be somehow hilarious. It isn't. The story, though, starts to pull you in, because it's about a theatrical family, these generations. You've got the matriarch, who's this huge Broadway star, who's always tempted to come back and do another show, even though she's retired. And then her daughter, who is torn between going to do Broadway shows and also wanting to get married and settle down, and the husbands in their lives, and all this going on. Plus, you've got the brother, who's completely, well, he's not mad, he's just one of those dramatic people that things are always getting happening to. He's a paternity suit, or he's always almost arrested and has to flee town at the last moment. Kind of cute stuff, it's amusing, there are some laughs. I think if you can get past the first act, of this three-act play, where just the first act is just irritating and boring, not just because it's exposition, but just the way it's all pitched. Then you start getting to some of the good stuff. You get Rosemary Harris playing the matriarch, and she has a grand aria that she plays grandly. And Jan Maxwell, who is a marvelous actress, and she has some lovely moments too. And some amusement from Reg Rogers, that crazy brother I was telling you about. It was also nice to see Tony Roberts back on stage. He was doing the show for a couple of weeks, and then he collapsed on stage. I don't know if he had a mini stroke or something happened to him. He's good. He's fine. He's not always 100% on his lines, and you notice that. But it's still so nice to see him that it's kind of a wash, and it's good that he's still in the show. Well, the nicest thing I guess I can say about the Royal Family is that I saw it at a matinee. I wasn't able to get press tickets for it because it was kind of last minute. So I didn't pay $100, I didn't pay $80. They have, if you're a student or have a student or faculty ID, matinees for $27. You sit in the way, way back, which does make a difference. But okay, you know, if you can still see a Broadway show for under $30 without standing on the tickets line, without any special club stuff, I think Manhattan Theatre Club is at the very least to be commended for that. Whether they're to be commended for reviving the royal family and in this particular production, as to quote the rabbi today, not so much. Anyway, I was going to talk about a couple of other shows, but I think they're going to have to wait until next time when we go once again inside Broadway.
We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 2007, I created Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. It's a TV show by Jews, about Jews, and for everybody. You can also watch episodes on YouTube. Just search under my name, Saul Solomon, or Shalom Dammit. And God saw that it was good, and you'll see it's great.
Dave's gone by.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and as always, it goes by so quickly. What's that line from Our Town? It all goes by so fast we don't have time to look at one another. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to me on this program. If you did, please write to me at davesgoneby@aol.com. That's Dave like my name, davesgoneby@aol.com. And please find out a whole bunch more information about this program at davesgoneby.org. There's photos, there's information about upcoming shows, plus, of course, you can listen to over 300 previous episodes of Dave's Gone By free anytime in our archives, so do check that out. And please check out the sponsors of this program because they're so terrific and so kind to help keep us going. They include Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, and remember, every Dave's Gone By listener gets 10% off every copy job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway, right opposite Lohman's. Also, please patronize Fancy Schmancy Balloons, balloons and centerpieces to make your party special. Shouldn't your event be Fancy Schmancy? 516-797-3229 is their number, 797-3229. Please read and subscribe to Performing Arts Insider Theater Journal, the Bible of Broadway since 1944. Go to performingartsinsider.com to find out more information, and go to davesgoneby.org to find out the great special discount subscription rate you get by listening to this show and reading Performing Arts Insider. And finally, thank you to TotalTheater.com, which has more than 2,000 theater reviews and about 350 feature stories all about the theater all over the world. So TotalTheater.com. And some reminders, too, that Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour is watchable on YouTube. Look for it under Shalom Dammit. There's 10 episodes. They are chopped up because YouTube doesn't take longer form, but you can watch them cover to cover, top to bottom, however you want to. If you've heard the rabbi, now if you want to see him, check him out on YouTube. And also listen to Nina Price on KFJC, 89.7 FM in the Bay Area, or everywhere else, listen on kfjc.org. Her show, Dancing in the Fast Lane with Ann Arbor, airs Wednesday mornings, 6 to 9 a.m. California time. So, like, if you're in New York, that's perfect listening, too, because it's, like, 9 to noon. Listen for her belly dancing music that starts every show, and keep it tuned to KFJC to hear a whole bunch more cool stuff. And thank you, Nina and Ann Arbor, for being on the show today. And grab yourselves a copy of Forbidden Broadway Behind the Mylar Curtain from Applause Books. It makes a terrific holiday gift for the theater person in your life. Again, that is not even a commercial. That's just me saying it's really cool. Check it out. And plus, I'm happy to see Gerard Alessandrini and Michael Portantier getting something cool together like that. Let's see, a shout-out to Jeff Goodman, the aforementioned from Fancy Schmancy Balloons. He's still in Singapore, I think, but hopefully he'll be back soon and we'll get him on the air again. It's been a long, long time. Catch Chris Smither and the Motivators at Joe's Pub November 15th. Go to joespub.com for more info on that. Uta Lemper is at Joe's Pub in December, December 10th through the 13th. And Issa, beloved Issa, is at Joe's Pub December 11th through the 12th. Jill Sabuel is touring with Aaron McEwen, kind of this cool, lesbian-y, folky, rocky, punky thing. It should be really cool. At Denver, Colorado's Walnut Room, November 27th, and they'll be at New York City's Highline Ballroom on December 4th. And catch Theodore Bekele in Shalom Aleichem, Laughter Through Tears, at the Baruch Performing Arts Center off-Broadway through December 13th. Thank you to Rabbi Sol Solomon, to Mom and Dad Lefkowitz, to Mom and Dad Weil, to TJ and Katrina for a delightful meal last week. Hope to do it again. And to my adorable, adoring, and wonderful wife, Joyce, for everything and for going through these very roller coastery times. Coming soon on Dave's Gone By, we'll be talking to a banker. Yes, a woman who was a banker for 25 years. Going to talk a little bit about money, but that's not generally what I care about on this program, although God knows in real life it'd be nice to have some. But she has these amazing stories of what it's like to work in a bank for 2.5 decades. Robberies, crazy people, vermin. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. And plus, this isn't confirmed yet, but it looks like we're going to have a beloved figure from children's television on the show, too. So, for now, it's time to leave the neighborhood, but I'll be back very soon, probably Thanksgiving week, for the 321st episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you a good night, shalom aleichem, and gone by. In your